never use this gospel for sacrificial giving day, I'll tell you that. So how many of you, I don't know if you've been watching these fires in California, it seems like every year they top themselves. This Paradise Fire, imagine being in a town where everything burned down, your employment, your grocery store, and your friend's home and yours, and oh my gosh, that was the biggest and most costly fire in California history. And then the one down south was personal to me. My family, who are now deceased, lived right in the middle of that fire zone for 30 years. And so I know every street. I've been on every street there. So I was watching in horror because when you know the place, it comes home, you know. And as far as Malibu's concerned, I think in the last, I don't know, 30 years, they've been evacuated. Not evacuated, but they've been threatened 6 times. This is the first time the entire city was forced to leave. And I don't know what the status is now. But what I noticed, many of you have lived in California, I've been here 30 years, but one doesn't forget this. Even on a good day, PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, is jammed most of the time. So you can see this. I have a picture I saved on my computer of that 2-lane highway. Nobody's moving, and everybody's trying to get out. And they were interviewing all these stars that were caught in that somebody's house burned down. I imagine, not picking on anybody in particular, but Barbara Streisand was probably in that thing. And there were a whole bunch of stars that were interviewed. And it just occurred that no matter which fame you have or money, you might have been famous or you might have been a servant there that day, living somewhere else. But we're all alike in the end. Everybody's house was threatened. Everybody was on the same road. Nobody was going anywhere. All the money and status in the world couldn't buy you any other way out except that. And so that image, I saw that. Now, I wanted to mention that just because it's an image of our lives. I think sometimes people who have no use for the Bible, their conscience is dulled. They can't see the signs of the times. God speaks to them. They cannot hear to them having a beautiful home in Malibu. Who wouldn't want that, you know? But it isn't what life's about. It's gonna come down in a fire someday. And everything we have is going to end that way. We can't keep a thing, not even our own bodies. In heaven, we get a glorified body. On earth, one day, we all have to get on that road and leave everything behind. Yeah, like a fire sale or somebody else owns everything we have. And so that was the image I was seeing. You know, I'd kind of look at things through theology sometimes. But to me, it was a sign, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, of there's not enough room in there, and some people didn't have gas. They weren't ready, like those virgins with the oil, you know. The pumps don't work. What are they going to do? Their house may catch on fire, and they can't leave. It's that kind of thing. All these things are images. Be ready. Be ready, because you don't know. And we're all equal in the end, and at the end of that road, we find that the world is in reverse, that what was low here is most valued there. What we thought was valuable is worthless in the end. And part of life is figuring that out, isn't it? What is really important? How many people on the news were saying, well, we lost everything, and they're crying, but all that mattered to us was anything with a heartbeat. Wow. We suddenly see what's important in our lives, don't we? So here we have this widow, and I'm thinking, Lord, I want to put that in, but I don't see the connection with the widow. Lord kicked me, and he said, well, look, you've got the people who are well off and this widow, and they're both doing the same thing. They're putting their money in the collection box. I always have to laugh because Jesus had just spent a long time telling off the Pharisees. In fact, he said, you go through the homes of widows, and yet you make a pretense of long prayers as if that's going to cover it up. The widows are talked about very much in the Bible. They're symbols of the poor. A widow did not have any money. There's no social security. In other words, they depended on their husband in that era for their support. If he died and that she did not remarry, the kids or any extended family, the law specifically said you must take care of your parents. This is why Jesus gives his mother to John on the cross. She doesn't have anybody else. And there's no other for her. John was there. And so Jesus advises, you know, and he says, if you can't take care of your family, that's the first thing for them. He yelled at the Pharisees, said, if you say, it's in this first part of this reading, if you say, the money I was going to give to my parents or by their upkeep is for God. That's Corbin. You don't have to do it anymore. He said, you're not following what God's will is. So here he is. He's yelled at all these Pharisees and stuff, and he's sitting there exhausted. He's in the court of the women. Imagine Jesus plops himself next to the collection box and watches. That's kind of rude, don't you think? It's like me following the collection basket. Well, I'm the one that pays the bills, but I wouldn't do that. But Jesus, or what we give is put on the board with our name on. This is what we see here, though. This was the idea. So the way the temple is set up, just to review, you've got two main entrances at the time of Christ. The grand staircase, whatever they call that, going down to the lower city of David, which has been extensively excavated in modern times since the 1967 war, when Israel obtained that area for themselves. They began excavating around the temple on their side. And so around the Wailing Wall. On the Wailing Wall side, you have what's called Robinson's Arch, which was discovered at that time. The level was up to the top of the wall before they excavated. It was made by Herod the Great, who it was something that went like an arch, and then down. The Jews destroyed that trying to save their temple in AD 70. So all you have is the very poignant top of it, that they themselves had destroyed it. And Jesus would have walked up and down those stairs, those very steps, many times. So he walks in, and there's the court of the Gentiles, where you find the money changers and the doves and the pigeons and all that stuff that God threw out. The reason he did is because they couldn't use a foreign coin up there at all. They had to have the exchange rate, which, by the way, was rigged in favor of the temple. See, they're cheating people, even as they're giving their contributions. They didn't have a good exchange rate, but no, they couldn't use a coin with a false god on it. That was the idea. So I don't know if the widow got cheated, but she had these two little coins, like I just showed you. Then the court of the Gentiles was the idea of that was that the Gentiles could come only so far, but into the temple to experience somewhat of the presence of God. That was the Lord's intention for the entire setup. But at the time of Christ, the Gentiles were gone. They said, well, this is wasted space. They put all their vendors in there. That's why Jesus threw them all out. You've missed the whole point of your life, which is to give light to the world, not to be a self-enclosed entity that does nothing for anyone but yourselves. This is what they were doing. So then you have the court of the women. And even now, in some Jewish congregations, they have women on one side, men on the other. But they, and you see that the Wailing Wall, I think they just took that away, a wall, a fence between the two. So men could go into the court of the women, but the women stopped at the last gate. And that's where they had these trumpets. They were 13, they called them trumpets. And each trumpet was where you put coins in, and they all went for different things. Here's the gas bill, the electric, the landscape, or the oil and the showbread. I'm not sure what they were all for. You decided what cause you were going to give to. So they take this big gold coin or whatever it was, they throw it in the trumpet, and it would make a lot of noise. It was meant to make a lot of noise so people would contribute. And people would deliberately throw it in so it would make as much noise as possible. Human nature, huh? Jesus is watching that. He's probably rolling his eyes. And you think you're pleasing to God by this showboat attitude when they're contributing. And here comes this widow. I'm extrapolating from the Bible here, but the Bible invites us to go between the pages. And she's coming up with these two coins. It's inside this plastic thing. It's quite interesting. And she comes up. Do you think she threw it in with the sound of two pennies going in? She put it in like this, so it wouldn't make any noise. Nobody was to see it. She only had two, like that widow in the first reading. But boy, she put it all in. And God was physically, with human eyes, watching at that moment. She symbolizes all of us. This is what we find at the end of the road. We all live in Malibu. Please God, it'd be nice if someone lived in Malibu here. May I come and visit you? That's what I'd like to say. But at the end of that road, we find that widow. And boy, she's got it all. Does she have a place with a view? I'll tell you, God was very pleased with her. It doesn't matter to God how much talent we have. This gospel is not really about money. It's about, I may think I have nothing to contribute. I'm sick, I'm bedridden, or whatever. I've lived a life that was not pleasing to God, and now I've made my conversion. I feel I've wasted my time. What God asks is what I can give and no more. St. Ignatius said, we sometimes put too much of a burden on ourselves in that we think God wants more than we are able to give. What God wants is that we put our 2 cents in and let Him take over the rest. We put all we have into it, knowing that we do not have enough to complete the building. Act of Faith putting this up, Act of Faith with the Adoration Chapel, Act of Faith putting the giving tree up, right? Are we going to get all the ornaments going to go to all the kids? We put what we have up, but the rest is up to you, and it's up to God. God does ask a sacrifice. Now, He Himself has saved us. He's the one that, taking our human nature, He passed once through the veil, never to pass through again, like ourselves. As a human being, He went through death for us, like we did. We will follow on that same road. So like so many I've buried coming down the aisle here. I wish that everyone that attends a funeral would get the idea that one day this is going to be me and what is important in my life. A lot of people do at that moment. These things are signs from God. He tries to get our attention with things like this, and maybe some of the meaning of what we're seeing this week in things like this. And so our Lord, I keep a penny by the door. Sometimes I put 2 there. There's always something coming up around here. I may not have the answer, but you know what? Somebody does. And He expects us to go out and start the project and let God finish it. If that's His will, He'll put in the other 98 cents. We all find ourselves impoverished. If you have the whole dollar, you're not even going to ask for God's help, and you'll think you can do it all yourself. The Lord doesn't want that. The further we get into the spiritual life, the less we think we have. All the saints, the closer they got to the end of their lives, the bigger sinners they thought they were. I know Mother Teresa said once, she said, I just hope I make it into purgatory. I said, if she can't make it into purgatory, there's no help for me at all. My gosh, she's going to be in the biggest mansion in heaven from the 20th century. I mean, but her point was, she began to feel her poverty in the face of God. Our contributions, great that they may be, are nothing. All God wants is our hearts. He sees the heart. It doesn't matter if I live in Malibu or the mobile home that also burned. Both of those burned in that same area. And it's what I did with what I had. That's what matters. Not just the excess, but till it hurts a little bit. He will ask this of us periodically. Oftentimes it's our families, isn't it? Or something in which it costs us something to give on that particular day. We're sick or whatever. You have to fill in the blanks. But remember the widow with the 2 pennies. God is pleased when we give our all, even though it doesn't seem like much to others. We live in a world of, in the world to come, everything will be in the inverse. And those on the out will be in. Many of the in crowd will be out. We're all the same at the end. We're all on the road trying. We're all fleeing our homes that are burning. Even now, we see the end, and yet we have a future that's so bright, another home that we've been building all this time without realizing it. The Lord can't wait to give it to us. But it's kind of up to us what neighborhood it's going to be in and what it looks like. The widow leads the way and points the way to Christ.